Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to yet another edition of TG Radio. As always, I'm your host, Ben, and let's get this divisional round of the 2016 NFL playoffs underway. Awesome. Missed last week due to surprise sicknesses. Everybody loves those. Had to deal with those. Fortunately, I got sick last week. Didn't feel like doing the show, so I didn't. Fairly decent weekend of football last week. The games themselves weren't necessarily all that entertaining, but we did get a couple rather ridiculous endings. And, well, that can make up for a very uninteresting game to start with. Recap, Chiefs beat the Texans. Surprise of no one, really. Perhaps the score is a little bit of a surprise. 30-0, Texans getting absolutely shut out is certainly something. And you know what? Good for Kansas City. Seeing them win in the playoffs is nice. I mean, who doesn't like Kansas City winning in the postseason? That's good. Houston was terrible, absolutely terrible. Poirier couldn't stop turning the ball over. And, yeah, that will get you a very quick exit out of the playoffs. And it did. Much to everybody's joy. Well, not Texans fans' joy, but to everybody else. It brought joy. Let's see here. Steelers, Bengals. Somehow the Steelers almost lost to A.J. McCarron. Should have lost to A.J. McCarron. Didn't lose to A.J. McCarron, and they lived to fight another day. Ugly game. Crazy finish. Joey Porter should have gotten flagged. Something. The tail in there, but he didn't. Bengals lose in a very Bengals way, and that's just one of those things. It happens, and it's going to happen because the Bengals are the Bengals, and stuff like that happens to teams like the Bengals. There's that. Seattle, Minnesota. I honestly expected it to be game of the week just because it felt like it was going to be game of the week because everybody was poo-pooing how terrible of a game it was going to be. And it turns out it was actually pretty terrible of a game. Minnesota did nothing but kick field goals. Seattle did absolutely nothing until the fourth quarter when Russell Wilson does crazy Russell Wilson things. They get a touchdown, they get a field goal, and that's the game. If Minnesota could kick field goals, they'd be advancing this weekend to only to lose this weekend. But, that didn't happen. And instead, Seattle gets to lose this weekend. So that's I feel bad for some of these lower-seeded NFC teams because that's your reward. You get to go either into Carolina or Arizona and likely lose. There's that. And then finally, what was actually a decent game, at least for a little bit, the Green Bay Packers defeated the Washington Redskins. And, yeah, that's
you like
a,
that? You like that?
I did like that. Because it ends the Washington Redskins' nice little playoff run before it began. And that is a good thing because I don't like that. I don't like that at all. And, yeah, don't have to worry about that anymore. And Green Bay is going to be very interesting to see what they do this weekend. And there is a little bit of recap. And put Razor on, and we're going to talk about all sorts of fun NFL action happening tomorrow and Sunday. Oh, yeah.
I like that.
You
like
that
a lot.
Yes. Yes. How are you today, sir?
I am good. We good. Still got 2 days before Denver completely blows this game, so calm before the
storm.
You guys
are the last game of the weekend, so that's something to look forward to.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
All right, So, football tomorrow. And one of the more interesting games actually leads off the slate, and that is Kansas City travels into Foxborough and takes on New England. And really, going into this game, I am at a loss at how New England is going to win this thing. Gronkowski is banged up and hurting. Amendola is banged up and hurting. Julian Edelman is also banged up and hurting. And you've got Chandler Jones, your star defensive end, out, you know, the week before getting high on synthetic marijuana. And that in and of itself deeply saddens me because football players are stupid. The playoffs and really, I mean, the regular season as a whole, you know, you should be treating this like you would be the week before the draft. You know, you're getting ready to get drafted, or the week before the combine. You know, the one time you absolutely need to keep your nose clean and, you know, stay out of trouble, and you're doing stupid stuff like, you know, getting high before you go take a drug test. And it's stupid. Luckily for the Patriots, probably nothing's going to happen, because if it was going to happen, it would have by now. So he's not going to get punished. And, yeah, it's just stupid. But, yeah, the Chiefs are winning tomorrow, right?
I would think so. But yeah. Here's the thing. They're playing the Patriots. I don't think anything matters when it comes to the Patriots. As long as Tom Brady's there and Bill Belichick's there, you know, they could have every single offensive player aside from Brady in the burn ward,
and
they'd still be fine. They'd find a way.
Yeah. Yeah, because they're the devil.
But, like, the Chiefs are the better team right now. Alex Smith is playing incredibly well. He's, you know, not going to blow you away or anything, but he's not fucking up, and that's exactly what you need your quarterbacks to do.
Yeah.
And they've got an incredible defense, and their offense got better once Jamal Charles got hurt, which is really strange. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't see the Chiefs losing this game.
Yeah, I don't either, which probably means that they're going to get blown out, because it makes no sense for them to. But I think I saw a stat last week that prior to his interceptions last week against the Texans, which was kind of weird, that Alex Smith had gone like 100, it was like either 165 or like 192 postseason passing attempts without interception or something. It's just like that's pretty crazy. Of course, he went and ruined it last week against the Texans of all teams, but you've got to figure if he plays mistake-free football and is able to move the ball on that Patriots defense, that, I mean, the Chiefs aren't going to lose this game. Obviously, that run game is suspect. Spencer Ware, I think he's banged up. Sarkandrick West is healthy, I believe, but, you know, I don't think any of those guys inspire or really bring about fear in opposing defenses. But, you know, Chiefs are getting things done, and they're facing a very banged-up New England Patriots team, and I will honestly be surprised if New England wins tomorrow. I understand that it's New England. It's in New England, but I think the cards are definitely in Kansas City's favor this week.
Yeah, I mean, like, the Chiefs aren't the kind of team you would expect to blow this kind of game.
Yeah.
Not like, you know, the Jags who sneak into the playoffs, or, you know, the Steelers who have a tendency to play poorly when the chips are down kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just don't see it.
Yeah, and I guess fun little tidbit. This is the first time that Andy Reid and Bill Belichick have faced off against each other since that Eagles-Patriots Super Bowl a few years ago, which I guess was actually more than a few years ago.
And I know that statement's wrong. Just as a fact, I know that statement is wrong.
Let's see here. This will be... Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right. It is. It's in the playoffs. playoffs.
Yeah, it's in the playoffs,
first,
sure, but I mean,
yeah,
they played
first
last
time.
Year.
Yeah, they did. They did. Thank you for correcting me. Yeah, you're absolutely right. I didn't read the rest of the paragraph, and I should have. But yeah, so first time they met in the playoffs since I guess a decade ago. It's crazy that that's been a decade, but it has.
It has been a decade. But they're also in different conferences, so that's to be expected.
Yeah, true. But yeah, fun time. So yeah, Chiefs. I feel good. I feel good about Chiefs' victory tomorrow. I feel good. So hopefully it actually happens, because there's not many things that bring me more enjoyment than a Patriots early exit in the playoffs. So yeah, it's something to look forward to.
Would be nice to see.
Yes, it would. All right. Next game, the little night game, Green Bay Packers traveling to Arizona to take the Cardinals. And this is honestly a very similar game, in my opinion, to the Chiefs-Patriots. I'm not certain I see a way in which Green Bay wins. They got a very – yeah, it's possible. They got a win last week against the Redskins. I don't know if the Green Bay Packers are actually legit or if they just benefited from playing the Washington Redskins last week. I don't know. I guess you've got a couple things of Green Bay getting absolutely slacked the last time these two teams played, so there's that. Rematches always tend to never go the same way. So there's that, but you know, all the offensive issues that Green Bay's been having going up against that Arizona team. Unless Arizona is completely cold from this week off that they've got, I don't really see that this is particularly close. I don't.
Yeah, but see. I have a feeling Arizona is going to be completely cold.
Yeah.
Just call it a hunch. I mean, they just played Green Bay, what, 3 weeks ago and completely destroyed them. So, you know, they've had the week off. They've had the time to see, you know, like, okay, we're going to be playing the Packers, but we just beat them 3 weeks ago. So it's not going to be much of a challenge at all. Meanwhile, the Packers are just coming off a hard fought win against the Redskins. Well, I mean, they had to fight to take the lead, but then they had it from there. But I mean,
yeah.
Still, I still think that counts. And you know, I think they've figured out a few things. You know, maybe it was just that they were beating up on the Redskins defense. They played entirely different than they had the past few weeks. They actually had proper offensive line blocking, and That means the world when you have one of the best quarterbacks in the game. He might not have played like it this season, but he's still one of the best quarterbacks in the game. And if you don't respect him, you're gonna get burned. And I have a feeling that the Cardinals are gonna get burned.
Yeah, and like I said, that's really the only way I can see you know, the Packers getting a win here is if the Cards just completely underestimate the Packers and just come out slow and not up to their game. And I mean, that's really it. I guess fun tidbit for this: if Carson Palmer gets a win, he will be the second oldest quarterback in NFL history to get his first postseason win. The oldest was Steve DeBerg, who did it at age 37 with, I guess oddly enough, the Chiefs back in '91. Random tidbit of this game. I would say the day, but I completely botched the earlier one. So, there's that. So, I do believe I had the Cardinals in the Super Bowl as the NFC representative. So, I'm going to stick with that. I don't think this week is going to be much of a threat. It could be. I could be absolutely surprised and they could get bounced early in what would be a crushing disappointment for the Cardinals and their fans, but I put the chances at it pretty slim.
Cardinals don't have fans.
I've been wrong about a vast number of everything this season. So there's Sunday. There's Saturday. Now Sunday. And this would be Sunday, follow Saturday, of course. Seattle faces off against Carolina in a game that I have absolutely no idea what's going to happen. No idea. I wish I did. I wish I knew if Russell Wilson was going to play well. I wish I knew if that offense was going to do anything against the Panthers defense. I wish I knew if the Panthers offense was going to do anything against the Seahawks defense. I wish I knew everything, but I know nothing about this game other than the Seahawks are incredibly lucky to be here. It's not every day, you know, you have a 27-yard field goal for a win and you absolutely completely botch it and shank it and give the Seahawks a gift, which the Seahawks are really the luckiest team in the league because they're always giving gifts. It doesn't matter, you know, who they're playing, what's happening, what stage it's on. They're the luckiest team in the league. For this game, I got nothing. I'm gonna, I guess, defer to the Panthers. I don't like Ted Ginn being hurt, but then again, I mean, Ted Ginn, I don't expect really to do much against that defense anyway. So it's essentially going to be the Cam Newton show because I also don't expect Jonathan Stewart to do anything against that defense, but I do have faith in Cam to get things done. If lucky Russell Wilson makes yet another appearance, the Panthers are absolutely screwed because no one can beat lucky Russell Wilson. They can't. It's impossible. You can't do it. And, yeah.
Yeah, but Russell Wilson's always lucky. He's like Mark Ruffalo at the end of the Avengers. You want to know my secret, Cap? I'm always lucky.
Yeah, he's always lucky. And that is accurate.
So, yeah, there's no way. Like, the Panthers have the best chance of toppling the Seahawks because they've got a great team all around. They play the same style of football as the Seahawks do.
Yep.
But they're not actually gonna, you know, beat them. It's the lucky Seahawks we're talking about. Even if the Panthers try to get like an offense going and, you know, actually go up by more than two possessions, which almost never happens against the Seahawks.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson will put them right back in it because he's lucky Russell Wilson. And that's what he does.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm taking the Seahawks. I feel very comfortable taking the Seahawks.
Much to the chagrin of everybody who isn't a fan of the Seattle Seahawks, which it brought me great joy to see them early in the season sucking. That was fun. And now here they are in the playoffs with, you know, a good shot potentially at, you know, making yet another Super Bowl. And I don't want to go ahead and put them in it, but, you know, they've got a very decent shot at it. Just because, again, of Russell Wilson and his luck and that. But I don't know. I think the Panthers definitely have some question marks, at least in my mind, because I have no idea. You know, we've harped all year on Cam Newton and that offense, and, you know, at some point that offense is going to hit a stumbling block. It did a little bit against their last game of the season somewhat. Cam wasn't great, but they still got it done. And I guess it was that week. Maybe it was week four. Maybe I don't remember. Maybe I don't know what I'm talking about. But either way, there's more question marks on the Carolina side of the ball for me. But I still have to defer to them because I don't know really what we're getting out of the Seahawks either. Like I said, I wish I had a good feel for this game, but I just don't.
It's going to be a good game to watch, but it's going to be very difficult to analyze until, you know, they actually start playing.
Yep, and that is very accurate. Very accurate. All right. Rooting for Seattle. Why is Blue rooting for Seattle? He's because that's the anti-Thanatos. That's why. That's why. That all makes sense. Which is funny because zero people were rooting for Seattle last year, so it's funny how that works.
That's because they won the year before. They broke Peyton Manning's poor little heart.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I think the HGH did that.
Ha!
All right. It's funny because he's 100% guilty, but, I mean, they're not gonna pin it on him.
But nobody should care. I mean, you know, really. Nobody should care. HGH, he's coming back for an injury.
Yeah, no, nobody really cares. I mean, he's Peyton Manning. I mean, he's a fucking legend, apparently.
Yeah.
So I hear.
It's not for some people, in some circles, yeah. All right, speaking of Peyton Manning, AFC Division playoff game, Sunday, last game of the weekend. And, yeah, Pittsburgh Steelers take on the Denver Broncos. Peyton Manning gets inserted back in the starting lineup. Little bummed I was sick last week, so I would have talked about it because it brought me joy to see him reinserted into the lineup. And this is the absolute best case scenario for him because, you know, 2006 rolls around, the Colts are terrible, they make it to the playoffs, and they're winning games. You know, you always hear, you know, he gets a ring. You always hear, yeah, but Peyton was terrible. And it's like he got a ring. Yeah, but he played, you know, Rex Grossman in the Super Bowl. So you got that. And the stars are essentially aligning to be the most epic yeah, but for him could possibly happen. He faces a Pittsburgh team that beat the Broncos a few weeks ago that's, you know, fielding a banged-up Ben Roethlisberger, is without D'Angelo Williams, is without Antonio Brown. So he wins that. You get a yeah, but, you know, all those injuries. Likely goes in next week and faces the Chiefs because the Chiefs are winning. So it's yeah, but he played the Chiefs, who may or may not be any good. So you got that. I haven't exactly figured out a yeah, but for the Super Bowl, but I'm just going to assume that they play the Packers because that would probably
the Seahawks?
No, they probably play the Packers because that fits better into my yeah, but scenario because the Packers aren't any good, despite the fact that they will have knocked off the Cardinals and the winner of the Seahawks Panthers. But we'll say that the Packers have immense issues. So there's a big yeah, but there. So Peyton gets the Super Bowl, rides off in the sunset, retires, and everybody gets to poo-poo this offseason because every team he faced was a favorable matchup. And that's how this offseason goes. Denver wins tomorrow because the Steelers blew their one win against the Broncos early in the regular season. Granted, they needed that win to make the postseason, but the point still stands. Too many injuries, and they're not going to get the best of Denver twice, even if Peyton throws a bazillion interceptions.
Yeah, see, that would be a nice little scenario. You know, let him go out on top, hopefully. Make him leave forever.
Yep, and he would leave forever.
But it's not going to happen because it's Peyton Manning, and you have way too much faith in him.
Maybe.
I think...
I have more faith in
you,
though, but
you
have zero faith in him.
I have zero faith in Peyton Manning. I know without a doubt he will find a way to completely lose this game against the Steelers. Like, I have zero doubt in my mind. Like, I'm sure our guys are already like, okay, wow, Big Ben's hurt, and there's no D'Angelo Williams, and there's no Antonio Brown. Oh, man, we can just coast this game. And they're going to get completely destroyed by Martavius Bryant and Marcus Wheaton. It's going to happen. And then Peyton's going to have to play from behind. And if we ever have to play from behind with Peyton's noodly-ass arm.
Peyton swinging all over the field.
Yeah, just throwing ducks out there.
Yeah. Oh, hey, I mean, you know, last time... Demaryius Thomas and Sanders combined for over 200 passing yards on him. So, I mean, those two guys are still there. Obviously, Osweiler was at the helm, so that's a little bit different. But, you know, Peyton's rested. He's ready to go. Yeah, that's it. Ready to go.
Ready to lose this game.
Ready to go. Nah, he's not going to lose. There's no way. Can't happen. Can't happen. He's going to lose that terrible...
I've already
he's
spent
lose
2 weeks
that
preparing
terrible...
for this offseason.
He's going to lose to that terrible terrible Steelers defense that nearly lost to A.J. McCarron last week. You're going to tell me that A.J. McCarron is essentially a better quarterback than Peyton Manning?
Yes.
No.
Without a doubt.
No.
100% chance right now. The only quarterbacks in this league worse than Peyton Manning right now are Nick Foles and Matt Castle and maybe Jimmy Clausen. But I say maybe because Jimmy Clausen is actually just the worst.
Yeah, all those guys are pretty unfortunate. Pretty unfortunate. But yeah, I don't,
whatever the hell Brian Hoyer did last week. Because as bad as Peyton Manning is, he's not that bad.
Not that bad. I mean, yeah, okay. So at least we'll admit that. Not Brian Hoyer level. But you know, that takes a special level to get there. I mean, what was that? Five
level of incompetence.
Yeah. Was that five turnovers? Was that four picks and a fumble?
That was four picks and a fumble.
Yeah. So I mean, that's impressive. That is absolutely impressive. So, but you know, that's what the Texans get. I mean, for thinking that they can roll into the season with Brian Hoyer and Ryan Mallett as your top two guys, and then promptly waffling between the two. So,
and then they didn't waffle, you know, at the halfway mark like they had been doing all season. If they had waffled and gone with Brandon Whedon, maybe they wouldn't have lost so badly. I'm pretty sure they still would have lost, but
they still would have lost.
Maybe they would have put points on the board.
Yeah. They would have got something. I mean, 3 points is better than getting shut out.
Yeah, instead of it being 30-0, it might have been like 23-14.
Yeah. Yeah. See, Blue hopes the Steelers since Pepe in retirement. Yeah. Blues
I'm also
all
fine
on
with that.
Yeah, Blues all on that Steelers bandwagon this postseason. That's disappointing, but you know I've got it all worked out in my head. It's the absolute perfect scenario. Like I said, I don't exactly have a perfect scenario for the Super Bowl, but I think in my perfect scenario it'd be the Packers because they have the most question marks, and that's just perfect for everybody to poo-poo yet another Peyton Super Bowl. And I think that works out particularly well for a
you don't think
ring.
If the Seahawks completely luck their way into two more wins, it would be a better story?
They would have to luck their way in into the flukiest way possible. I mean, you would have to get like a Fail Mary part two. And there would have to be like another, maybe even another miss. You know what? No, screw it. They'll just have two more like sub 30-yard field goals missed in the game. I mean, we'll just make it easy.
Well, Graham Gano has missed like six extra points this year, and Mason Crosby has missed none. So that would be perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. You know, you can't hit a 30-something yard extra point, but yet you can hit a 50-yard field goal. I mean, that makes absolute total sense.
Total sense.
Weird.
Kickers are fucked up.
Yes. Yeah. That's like, you know, 27-yard field goal. That's all you got to do. 27-yard field goal. Your team advances. What? So it's the first time that that old man Favre was there. Before he got beat down against what was that, the Giants forever ago in 2011?
Yeah.
And it's just 20, like, you know.
2008. No, that was 2007. That was that game.
Was that seven? Seven?
Yeah.
That was even further away. Yeah, so it's like, I mean, you got your chances. But it's not like, I mentioned earlier, I feel bad for the NFC, you know, the lower seeded teams on the NFC side, because it's like, oh, hey, congratulations, you won a playoff game. Now you get to go into either Carolina or Arizona. Congratulations.
Arizona is a nice place to play, though.
True. Especially compared to those absolutely wonderful conditions in Minnesota last week. So
yeah, you know,
yeah,
sub-zero Fahrenheit.
Yeah. Yeah, finally got to I think zero at the end of the game. So
it was probably just too warm for Blair Walsh to make that field goal. That was it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can only kick it below 0 degrees.
I can't kick in these warm temperatures. Yeah, the pressure in the ball caused it to come off his foot. That's what it was.
Yep. 100%. Wasn't that, you know, the punter fucking had the laces
completely.
In.
Yeah, completely.
Wasn't that Adrian Peterson ran for 1.9 yards per carry?
Yeah, 45 yards on the ground. Yeah.
God, it's like, oh yeah, this is Adrian Peterson's team, and he completely fudges the game.
Yeah.
Does absolutely nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, and then fumbled, and luckily, yeah, and then fumbled it, which is hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I get blaming Blair Walsh, but it's Adrian Peterson's fault they lost that game. Let's not be.
Yeah.
Let's not twist facts
here.
I
think the blame falls on multiple people. Obviously, you know, Blair Walsh misses the kick, but I mean he had another kick earlier that was laces in, and he, you know, barely got his foot underneath the laces, and it was good. But it's just like, you know, that's. It's on the holder, but of course, I mean, you know, him being a good guy is going to take responsibility for it, which is good. But it's just like, yeah, you know what? That's what the Vikings deserve. It is. My hatred of them has waned a little bit, but you know what? Screw it. That's what they get.
And the Marvin Lewis coaching tree is now 0-9 in playoff games.
That's a fun little coaching tree. And,
yeah. Jay Gruden, yeah. Mike Zimmer, and now Hugh Jackson.
Yep. And, I guess with the rest remaining time, we can cover, I don't know, coaching movements, I guess? Something like
yeah,
that.
Just like
yeah,
Alex movements, really.
Yeah. So, everybody but Tennessee has their head coach. Bunch of interesting names. Guys that I didn't even know were on the radar for some teams, but for the Bucs, you got offensive coordinator Dirk Cutter being announced as head coach, which is obviously, you know, they had that plan in place when they got rid of Lovey. I don't know if there was any other candidate. I know it wasn't. I was going to say Shanahan was involved, but that was for Miami before they hired Adam Gase. But,
I think they talked to Tom Coughlin.
Possibly.
That didn't fall through, obviously.
That's an interesting hire. Obviously, he did good things with Doug Martin in that offense last year, so we'll see how that works. Adam Gase mentioning that is absolutely fascinating. Just for the fact that this is a first time head coach who now has final say of a 53-man roster, and you know I'm not in the football front office. I'm not involved with any football, you know, NFL team, but that does not seem like a very intelligent thing to do. For first-time head coach, it would seem to be a good idea to compartmentalize things, help him along. It's his first go-round as a head coach, and as things progress, then give him more and more power. But Dolphins decide to just forego that and acquiesce to all of his demands. And that is going to be absolutely fascinating as to how it turns out.
Well, it worked great for Denver with Josh McDaniels, so I'm sure this will be fine. I can't foresee any issues with this.
I'm sure it'll work out just perfect. So,
at the very least, Miami doesn't actually have anything to destroy. They don't have a good young core. They don't have a talented quarterback. They don't have a top 10 wide receiver. So really, there's nothing that can go wrong here.
Yeah. Dominican Sue and his bazillion-dollar contract. Yeah. So let's see here. So it was that. You got The Giants hiring Ben McAdoo, which is headline gold for whenever they screw up, because I'm sure, you know, the New York headline writers are incredibly clever and witty like I am, and I'm sure there'll be a McAdult headline. A McAdoo-doo, I'm sure, will probably be another one. So that's yep. another fascinating hire. You know, I guess the props to them for going in-house. Interesting. Another first-time head coach. Did good things with Eli, but you know, doing good things with an offense doesn't automatically mean you're going to be a good head coach. So that's another thing, especially when your defense is absolutely terrible and you're retaining your terrible defensive coordinator. So that's also
you haven't changed the coaching staff at all with the Giants. You've just promoted the offensive coordinator and got a new one. That was it. So, I mean, expect more of the same from the Giants.
Yeah. So, there's that. Eagles hire Doug Peterson, essentially Andy Reid light, I guess, in a couple senses of the word. But, another fascinating hire because, you know, for all the flack that Andy Reid got, both from the fans and, the fans and I guess ownership was behind him, mainly the fans. It's like now your team hires his protege. So that's pretty funny, just how things come around full circle, essentially. But I guess that's where you go after you get rid of Chip Kelly. You go back to what you know, and Andy Reid is what you know, and what you were comfortable with and actually had success with. Another one, first-time head coach, offensive coordinator with the Chiefs, did pretty good things, and that doesn't necessarily mean that you're fit to be a head coach. So everybody has to start somewhere, and if he bombs, it's Philly, and he will be out of there relatively quickly.
Right, because Philly, you know, they can't be happy with any coach they have. And they could have the fucking Dalai Lama be their head coach, and they'd build all the stadium in a week.
Yeah, Bill Belichick could be there, and they could win, like, you know, 12-4 and win maybe two games in the playoffs, and they'd be pissed at Bill Belichick for not winning more games.
That's pretty much how most Eagles fans are.
All right, so we've covered, four teams. 49ers hire Chip Kelly, which is hilarious because that morning I saw a news blurb that said Trent Baalke was not going to hire anybody that was going to threaten him for his control of the team, and I thought immediately that there's no way they hired Chip Kelly, and then they went and hired Chip Kelly. So
it's like, what are the 49ers even doing right now? Because nothing seems to make sense.
Yeah.
At the very least, there's no way that Chip can, you know, send a mass exodus of all their talent, because all their talent left last year.
Yeah, because they don't have anybody. So that works. I guess it bodes well for Colin Kaepernick, because you got to figure with Chip being there, unless Kaepernick is absolutely terrible in whatever interviews Chip has, then you got to figure Cap will be there and starting again, which, you know, sucks for my boy Blaine, but you know, that's how the cookie or team crumbles. So I mean, there's that. Yeah, good luck.
I think Blaine probably should start ahead of Colin. He should enter the season as the starter, and they should have a quarterback position.
Yep. But they probably won't. They'll probably default it to Cap. And
Kaepernick's going to take $100 million somehow.
Yeah, which that's brilliant. All right, so that was what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I feel like I'm missing one. Who am I missing? Tennessee. Tennessee's there, but they haven't hired anybody. Detroit's keeping Caldwell, which, you know, good for Detroit, because you bring in yet another Patriots guy, and you get names like Josh McDaniels bandied about. And that's just got to be concerning for any Detroit fan. I mean, you might not be a fan of Jim Caldwell, but you're really not going to be a fan of Josh McDaniels. So you dodge a huge bullet there. Who knows if Caldwell survives the season. Maybe he gets let go at the end of next season, depending on how that plays out. But for at least a year, you'll be all right.
He'll be all right. And it turns out that the team are missing, because they're actually just not relevant, is the Cleveland Browns, who get
Nobody
a new head
cares.
Coach every single
right.
season.
Every single season.
Is Hugh Jackson.
Hugh Jackson. Again, another guy. Did great offensive things, both for the Raiders and for the Bengals. Turned the Raiders into a respectable offense, turned the Bengals and Andy Dalton into something very respectable, and if he does something with the Browns, he's a miracle worker and should just directly go to the Hall of Fame. Doesn't need any Super Bowl wins, doesn't need any playoff wins. If he actually gets into the playoffs and turns the Browns into a respectable franchise, he is a miracle worker, and yeah. Good news is Johnny Manziel is probably out, because he doesn't like Johnny Manziel, and really, who does? But yeah.
Fair point.
Yeah. So
yeah, but he's not going to last more than two seasons. I will give him two seasons.
Because it's the Browns. So.
Because it's the Browns, and Jimmy has a Shyster.
Yeah.
Doesn't know how to manage a team. So.
Yeah, I mean, the Browns are essentially the Raiders from a couple years ago. So, that is the show. It's fixed to cut me off. So, good chat. And, yeah, we'll do this again next weekend. And good luck Sunday.
Go Broncos.